Thank you. Good morning. I'd like you to please turn to page 1557 in your pew Bible. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a good crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and never hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown into them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times that was sown." I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32 now. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade."
Ring. Loving and holy God, speak to us now. For you alone are the one who holds the words of life. Lord, may the seeds that have been planted in our heart take root and grow to bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, during Miss Amanda's wonderful children's time, someone in the choir loft turned to me and said, "Boy, looking at the time, I expect you don't expect to preach very long, do you?" And I said, "My sermon will be the length equivalent to the size of a mustard seed." And all the people of God cheered and said, "Amen." Have a wonderful day. One of the genius ways that Jesus communicated and taught was in parables. Jesus was able to take a reference to the natural world, a seed, mustard seed, a fig tree. People that would have been immediately recognizable to his ancient audience, a Samaritan, a farmer. And using a parable, Jesus is able to communicate timeless, eternal spiritual truth. And parables, as I've mentioned before, in fact, I think a couple summers ago, I did a whole sermon series on parables. A parable is a lot like an onion. What do you have in an onion? Layers. You peel away the layers, you find another layer and another layer. And a parable is like that. They're layered with meaning. And the parables that Alicia read for us in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is communicating this spiritual reality of the kingdom of God, the realm of God's rule and reign, seen perfectly in a person, in Jesus, but then this spiritual reality that is here, but it's not yet here in its fullness, and it will not be until Christ comes again. This reality that you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to live into and to proclaim. And so Jesus talks about seeds in relationship to this kingdom of God, this reality, this spiritual truth. And there's something, as you recall, I've said about parables before, in every parable there's something of the absurd, something that the audience would hear and would say, that's ridiculous, that's wild, why would that happen? Like a farmer going out to sow seed. Now, in the ancient world, seed was a commodity. It was rare. It wasn't something that you would waste by throwing it on all sorts of different ground. You would find good ground, good soil. You would tend the soil, and then you would sow seed into that soil. A farmer would not go out and scatter it on the road and on rocky soil and on shallow soil and also on good soil. So when Jesus' audience hears this parable, no doubt they would have wondered what Jesus could mean by a farmer being so extravagant, indeed, one might say even reckless, in his sowing of the seed. The kingdom of God is a spiritual reality that does not depend upon you and me for it to be true. However, God has called you and me as his followers to be seed sowers in the kingdom. That everywhere we go and all that we say and all that we do, that we are communicating the rule and the reign of a good and gracious God. We've already celebrated that this morning, haven't we? By dedicated people here in our church who have made it their life's mission to be seed sowers. Perhaps you can think in your life of a seed sower who was influential to you. Can any of you think of one in your mind? Someone who by their example, by their love, by their care, by their words, and maybe even more importantly, by their actions, sowed the love of God into your life. Were there times that you were not ready to receive that? I think if we're all honest, we are. There have been times. But that, friends, is the task of a seed sower in the kingdom of God. That even when it doesn't seem to yield results, even when the individual that we love and that we're trying to reach seems maybe even to be opposed to us, what do? We continue to sow. We continue to cast that seed and trust that God, in his time and in his way, will do something with our faithfulness. And a mustard seed. Tiny little seed. In fact, in some parts of the ancient world, you know what a mustard tree was considered? An invasive weed. Because it would get into everything. And once it took root and once it started to grow, you know what? It was really hard to try to tame it. Which is kind of the point, isn't it? Something so small. Something so tiny. And yet once it takes root, what does it do? It takes over. It takes over. This morning, we have been celebrating seeds, and we have an opportunity in just a moment to celebrate the planting of another seed into Peyton Grace's life. Because we believe that from the youngest all the way up to the oldest, God is working in their lives, in ways that we cannot see or comprehend or ever even understand, but yet we trust by faith that God is working and that God has called you and me to be co-laborers with him in the vineyard of the world. to give of our lives for others, and to sow gospel seeds everywhere that we go, trusting that God in his time will bring the fruit. Friends, this morning it's my challenge to you, to me, and for this church to be a seed-sowing church, and to trust God that he will reward the faithfulness of his followers who show up day after day in the extraordinary and in the mundane, faithfully sowing gospel seeds. Amen.